For the last few weeks, we've been talking about the importance of different elements in our faith. We've talked about how important prayer is to our faith life, how important passing on the faith to other generations is to our health as a body of Christ. And today we're going to turn to another element of faith that is very important, that's central to us as Christians. So hear now these words from Paul's letter to Timothy, the second letter to Timothy, beginning with chapter 3, verses 14 through chapter 4, verses 5. You can follow along in your bulletin or your pew Bible if you would like. So hear now these words from Paul to Timothy. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and what you firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message, be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. How many of you had a teacher that you remember as being incredibly inspiring in your life? Anybody? Anybody? Great. So did I. When I was in high school, I think I've had several, but when I was in high school, I had a drill team director that was so inspiring. She ignited within us this desire and this love of dance. And so after graduation, another friend of mine and I dreamed of continuing our dance career by being part of a college dance troupe. And so we showed up in the middle of the summer between our senior year of high school and freshman year of college with 125 other young women at Kilgore College to try out for 24 spots. That tryout process lasted for 2 grueling weeks, and we danced from 8:30 in the morning until 10 o'clock at night. She and I had very little training outside of our high school experience, and so we often felt really inadequate when we compared ourselves to these other young women who had been dancing since they were 4 years old. We were, as freshmen, continually harassed by upperclassmen, and our muscles ached so much at night that we would often literally crawl up the stairs to go to bed. So a couple of days before the actual audition, my friend and I, feeling very discouraged and defeated, felt as if we really couldn't or maybe shouldn't go on anymore. We determined that we probably weren't going to make the team, and we discovered that between us, we had enough money to pay for 2 nights in a hotel room nearby. And to save ourselves the embarrassment of the audition, we decided to just give up. We would give up, we would pack up our bags and go check into the hotel for 2 days until tryouts were over. Then on the afternoon of the audition, we would call our parents and our wonderful teacher, and we would just say to them that we hadn't made the team. So the day of our planned escape, we walked by the front desk of the dorm to find this massive pile of letters that were all addressed to us. Our drill team director had had every girl from our home team write each of us letters of encouragement. So we took over 100 letters to our room. We sat on our packed suitcases, opened envelope after envelope, and read words like, "I know this is really hard, but you can do it. We're all praying for you. Hang in there. We love you, and we are so proud of you." So as we read these letters, we laughed, and we cried some more, and we laughed, and then we looked at each other, and we said, "Oh my gosh, we can't quit now. We can't quit now." Those letters provided us with the inspiration that we needed to go on. And while we had lost faith in ourselves and our abilities, we had a whole community of people behind us and an incredible teacher who had not. This is Paul's hope in writing this letter to Timothy. He hopes to inspire and encourage Timothy to keep going on in the faith, to renew this faith that he once had in his abilities and in himself. Because Timothy, you may recall from past weeks, from our readings, has been feeling defeated and discouraged. He is aching from persecution and being harassed for his teachings by others who think that they know more than him, who think that Christianity is not the way to go. He's dealing with false teachers left and right, and so he's considering giving up on preaching and teaching the gospel. And then he receives this letter from Paul. Paul loves Timothy, and he knows that Timothy's decision will not only affect Timothy's future, but the very future of the faith and the lives of those who will be influenced by Timothy's words if he will just hang on. Paul's fatherly words of encouragement are full of strong and motivating imperatives. Continue what you have learned. Be persistent in proclaiming the resurrection of Christ. Be disciplined. Endure. Carry out your ministry fully. Now, whether or not Timothy will take Paul's advice hinges on whether or not Timothy can be inspired by this letter. Central to coaxing Timothy to move forward is Paul's request for Timothy to take a short walk down memory lane and remember this fire that was once ignited in him for the gospel that the two of them had worked so hard to share with others. So, first, Paul exhorts Timothy to continue in what he had learned from Paul, what he had firmly believed, what they were excited about. Paul taught Timothy so well, and Timothy had been ignited with this love for the gospel that they had worked so hard to proclaim. Second, Paul encourages Timothy to remember that from his childhood, he had known the sacred writings, the Hebrew scriptures that had been taught to him by his mother and his grandmother. It was the same scripture that led him to believe in this new covenant that God would write on other people's hearts, this new covenant through Jesus Christ. And what Paul says next in that passage is the pivot point, not only for the entire passage, it's also pivotal for Timothy's decision, and it's pivotal for us as well. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, correction, and training all who belong to God, so that they may be equipped for every good work. That's what Jesus would call acts of love toward God and one another. Every good work. It all boils down for Timothy and us to remember the central significance of Scripture in guiding and equipping us for the multiple tasks and calls that God has called us to. Scripture is inspired by God. What does that mean? The word here, inspired in Greek, is theonoustos. It's a combination of two words, theo, meaning God, and pneuo, which can mean breathing out or to blow. So Scripture, it says, is God breathed. Inspiration, then, is rooted in the imagery of divine breath, imagery that we find in creation where the wind or the breath of God sweeps over the face of the waters. The breath of God that we find when God forms Adam in God's own image and breathes into him the breath of life. God's breath is life-giving. It instructs us. It offers wisdom for all that we need for our salvation, for living life fully, for faith in Christ, and for equipping us as Christians for whatever comes our way. So as we read Scripture, we can expect to be inspired by God because as we read it, Scripture, through God's own Spirit, reads us. It teaches us, corrects our misconceptions, convicts us, and helps ensure that we either go back onto the right path or keep choosing right paths and true courses. So as a Jewish boy, Timothy would have studied and memorized Scripture that his mother and grandmother taught him, and so did Jesus. Jesus often quoted Scripture. Even from the cross, Jesus was quoting Scripture. His entire ministry was based and shaped by Scripture. And yet, it's interesting because we also find Jesus challenging various interpretations of Scripture of the day. We've heard him said many, he said many times in Matthew, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." He's reinterpreting Scripture. And we find him debating the meaning of Scripture. Jesus followed in a long line of rabbis who continuously, and who still do to this day, debate and reinterpret Scripture. So we realize that while our Scripture is God-breathed and inspired by God, it was also written by human hands, and its interpretation is also inspired by God as each generation views it through the lens of their own traditions and experiences. So if Scripture is God-breathed, and if God's Spirit still speaks to us through Scripture because it is living, and has the ability to read us and inspire us, if Jesus' words are true, that when the Spirit comes, he will guide us in all truth, it's a wonder that we don't all have this incredible impetus to just like clamor and grab Bibles and have them open all the time. We want and need inspiration, don't we? We all want to be inspired. We need the comfort and loving inspiration when life is difficult and we don't know where to turn. We need inspiration when we second guess our abilities and our worth. And we find that inspiration in God's tender care and comfort of Israel. We find that inspiration in Jesus' compassion for those who are marginalized or sick or poor, who feel left out. It's the same compassion that God, through Jesus Christ, has for us. We need guidance as we wonder where we should turn next in life. I know, at least for me, I don't know about you, but sometimes I need correction. And when I am confronted by those judgmental Pharisees and attitude, their judgmental attitudes of the Pharisees, I often realize that their attitudes are my own. When Scripture is read, it reads us and it teaches us. It breathes into us new life and equips us for every good work, if we'll let it. And I know this is probably no surprise to you, but studies show that while 87% of Americans own Bibles, most of them collecting dust on their coffee tables, the majority of us, or the majority of Americans, have spent little time or none in reading its life-giving pages, except for us in Cox Chapel, because we read at least two scripture verses each week in here. And in some ways, that's understandable why more people don't want to pick up and read their Bibles, because it was written over a period of 1,400 years. There's 66 books in there, the last of which was written almost 2,000 years ago. So sometimes the culture of the characters and the language in the Bible is difficult to understand, and yet the Bible is so rich in history and poetry and songs and letters, all that have been inspired by the ways in which God's people experienced God's presence, by all the ways in which God's people experienced God's love and comfort and provision and guidance and salvation. These are all things that we too can experience as well. But I think finding Scripture's inspiration sometimes takes persistence. It takes persistence in studying alone and in studying in groups where the Holy Spirit is working among us. It takes persistence in finding a translation that you can easily read and like. It takes persistence in engaging with it daily. And that's why the church, of course, offered the book of Mark for us to read as a congregation, and it's why it's offered a companion podcast that we can follow along with and listen to each day, because we know how integral persistent study of the Bible, of Scripture, is in helping us live out our various callings in life. True inspiration that leads us to being equipped for every good work and leading and following through with our callings and our ministry and life. Rachel Held Evans tells us in her book, Inspired, comes not to the lucky or the charmed, but to the faithful. To the writer who shows up at her keyboard each morning, even when she's too tired. To the guitarist whose fingers bleed after hours of practice. To the dancer who must first learn the traditional steps before she can freestyle with integrity. Inspiration, Rachel tells us, is not about some ethereal voice dictating words or notes to a catatonic host. It's a collaborative process, a holy give and take, a partnership between the Creator with the big C and the Creator with the little c. Finding inspiration takes practice, and sometimes it takes hard work and patience. It requires, as Paul reminds Timothy, showing up even when you don't feel like it, in the good times and in the bad, in the good seasons and the bad seasons. It means showing up when it feels as if no one else is there. Rachel Held Evans says, it means waiting for the wind, the breath, to stir. Deep down, Timothy knew this. He had been taught this well. He just needed his trusted mentor and friend to inspire him to persist so that he could live into his potential, and then he could lead others to live into theirs. My friend and I discovered after our dance audition that our teacher had prepared us well. The encouragement in the letters that she and all of our friends sent gave us hope and new life and inspiration. They inspired us to persist, to put into practice everything that we had already learned. And we learned that we did have what it took to make our dream come true. And you have what it takes to make God's dream for your life and God's call on your life come true as well. My hope is that if you aren't already, which I'm guessing most of you are, that you'll begin reading your Bible regularly. Maybe if it's just 5 verses a day, or jump in and follow along with Mark or the podcast that Tim's been doing. Or just take our reading, our lectionary readings, and just meditate on those for the week. My prayer for all of us together this week is that we'll just dive in to our scriptures, Because God is still breathing. God is still breathing. And if you're curious, the promise is that you will never leave the text without learning something new. And if you're persistent, you just might be inspired. Amen.